Ladies and gentlemen, I think we'll get started now that council member Simmons is here. We can proceed.
I'm almost always late, come on.
We definitely needed to.
You notice you didn't say me.
We appreciate all of you attending and appreciate your willingness to adjust schedules for kind of an important agenda item that would not work next week, our fourth Wednesday meeting. So appreciate you accommodating this new schedule and welcome you here. We have some important visitors with us, and I think, let's do this. We're not going to do the minutes, if that's okay. We kind of confused the staff last meeting when we had so many motions related to the policy review. Motion, second, several, and so that's my fault. I think next time we'll combine those motions. So if we could defer on reviewing or accepting the minutes of the March meeting until May, I would appreciate that. But we would like formal approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion on that?
I'll move.
Dean Quayle moves. Do we have a second to approve the agenda? We have a second here. Thank you very much. All in favor of approving the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and just mention that our next meeting is the regular date, May 23rd. At 5:45, the usual time, it will be in this room. And do we have, I think we'll have room for questions and comments later in the agenda. Do we have any right now? Because we always put that on the first of the agenda also. But there will be ample time for that. Before we get to our presentation on local option transportation sales tax, I think it would be very appropriate to have people that are here visiting with us to introduce themselves, and then we'll have ask board members to introduce themselves to our visitors, starting with Eric. But can we go over here? Mayor Drew, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit, please?
John Drew, Providence City Mayor. Anything else you'd like to know? More than happy.
And you were on the council.
I've been on the council for 4 years.
Okay. All right, and fairly new mayor.
Visited you folks a few times.
Yes, and we're grateful that you're here. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah.
David Hare, Mayor of Millville.
How long have you been mayor?
3 months.
Oh, wow.
3 months, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the new mayor contingent.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Or David. Okay. Jeff's been around a while.
Craig Butters, Cache County Museum.
Thank you, Craig.
Josh Unhart, Cache County Director of Development Services.
Thank you. Let's go back to staff back here.
Sharice Van Dyke, I'm the
First Harvest Director of Administration.
Joey Kimball, Operations Manager.
Paul Walmer, IT.
Thank you very much. Eric, and let's introduce ourselves and who we represent.
Okay. My name's Eric Cashcroft. I'm the Cache County Rep.
Jeff Turley, Providence City Rep.
Roger Pond, River Heights.
Jeannie Simmons, Logan City.
Dean Quayle, Logan City.
Glenn Schmidt, Logan City.
Todd Butler, General Manager.
Roger Jones, represent Logan City.
Holly Broom Heyer, Lewiston City.
Greg Wright, Pat Park.
Heidi Harper, I represent Smithfield City.
Cecilia Benson, Logan City.
Bushman, Norman Larson, Newbury.
Thank you very much. We have, as our guests can see, we kind of have broad representation. If we took time to tell people what we did, it's kind of amazing. So this is a good board, 19-member board. They're very active and concerned and do a good job with our Cache Valley Transit system. So our first agenda item will be presented by Josh Runhar, who's the Development Services Director for Cache County. And I've heard him make presentations a number of times. He's an excellent presenter. How long have you had this position, Josh, and how long have you worked for the county?
I've been at the county for going on 13 years, and I've been in this position for 10 of those.
Wow, thank you very much. Important position. So the floor is yours.
Okay.
That's my joke, but I have to say 12, you know, for anybody to believe it. So
no, I started young, but not quite that young.
Okay.
And I try to make things interesting, but unfortunately, when you talk about taxes, there's not really a lot of leverage there to make it too interesting. So what we're going to do tonight is talk through the transportation sales tax and, most importantly, some of the changes we saw in Senate Bill 136. This is all kind of fresh and new to us. We were on a timeline at the county that was going to last the entire year, and instead now we have advanced that rapidly based on changes that happened at the state in this last legislative cycle. So to start off, I think it's a good point to make sure that everybody understands what the sales tax options are. And we've got five quarters of sales tax options. Before March, we only had four. They added a fifth in the legislative session this last time. So we've got five out there. We have some enacted. So the first option is a 0.3% option. That's for transit. That's what is the primary funding here for CBTD. That was enacted some number of years ago.
Can I ask you a question real quick, Josh? When you talk about five quarters of
I didn't do the math. The state did the math.
No, but I don't understand.
So,
like,
oh, the quarters?
Well, whether you're talking about it happened the first quarter of the year, or if it's the first quarter of a percent.
Quarter of a percent.
Okay.
They call them the four quarters because they're kind of trying to divvy up a penny. But if you look up there, you'll see it's 0.3, and then you have quarters, and then you have 0.2. So don't even equal up to the 0.25 all the time. But that's just how they're vernacularly known as, is the quarter cent sales tax.
Thank you.
Options. So it has nothing to do with calendar year cycling or anything like that. It's just the amount.
Cent, the second quarter
it's
cent.
Four,
right.
Yeah.
So the first quarter cent is transit. That's the primary funding here. I think you guys are probably seeing in the neighborhood of, 4.8 million off of that 0.3%. And that comes to CBTD directly off of sales tax. The second quarter is a 0.25, and it's a bifurcated option. There's an option A or an option B, not both. So option A is, again, for transit, and option B is for arterial roads. So the county can put that into an arterial road fund. Does anybody have any clue how many arterial roads we have in Cache County? They're the UDOT facilities. So if we were to pass the arterial road fund, the only roads that would qualify for that would be things like SR 89, 91, Highway 30, maybe 165. Those would be 10th West would be an arterial road. Those are the arterial roads. But if you look at the local roads, we don't have arterial. That's a very high threshold. We have what are called collector roads. So it's just the threshold of roads: arterial, collector, local, and then on down. That's a fund that has not been enacted. We have not looked at that fund. I think there was conversation about that some years ago, but it didn't go anywhere. The third quarter, 0.25 again, is where we get what we call our COG funding, Cache County Council of Governments. This one is enacted. We get about, last year we got $3.9 million through this. This is money that goes out to the communities to fund infrastructure capacity related projects. So things like Second East, the roundabouts that you see are often funded through this funding. Logan City is doing a number of projects this coming year. I can't remember all of them. There was design on First West, punch through. You're looking at, was it 1800 North? 1800 North punched through Logan City. So there's a number of projects, but we primarily focus those onto capacity. So we're not putting that into typically maintenance funds. The fourth quarter is what we're going to talk about primarily today. That is for roads, transit, and active transportation. Again, it's a quarter percent. That's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the day. And then the fifth quarter is what they just opened up this last session. If you pass all the other four quarters, there's a fifth quarter, which is only 0.2, but they refer to it still as the fifth quarter, that is available for transit as well. So only in counties where you've passed all the other four can you go after this fifth quarter. And so when you look at that, you can see that option one's transit, option two is either transit or arterial, option three is capacity road issues, Option four is 60% for maintenance, 40% for transit, and then option five is entirely for transit again.
So I have a question. All of our arterial roads are state highways.
Yes.
So they fall under state transportation dollars, not under our dollars.
We can put local money towards state routes.
To do what?
Expand them. I know Weber County does this. They help guide UDOT projects by sweetening the pot with local monies. So one of the options would be, say, 5 years from now, we get Highway 30 expanded to this three-lane, five-lane configuration, mm-hmm. and we want to try and push the rest of the way to five lanes. If we had this tax in place, we could, in theory, go and sweeten the pot with UDOT and say, hey, we'll pay 40% of the cost of that widening if you put in the remaining 60%. We could put, there's been this one-way couplet concept through Logan. We could put this tax towards trying to rebuild the one-way couplet concept because that would qualify.
As an arterial road?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
So we can give them money from local sources to spend on state roads.
Okay.
Other questions on the 5/4-cent sales tax pieces? So in talking about the fourth quarter, it's perhaps one of the most open and accessible funding sources that you're going to see. The list up there is everything that this money is eligible to be used for. So we've got Class B and C roads. Those are county and city roads. City roads are Class C, county roads are Class B. That's the type of gas tax funding we get. So those are eligible, anything we do on those roads. Anything for traffic or pedestrian safety, anything sidewalk, curb, gutter related, any other safety features, traffic signs or signals, street lights, active transportation facilities, so this could be bike lanes, bike lane connections to other sources, and then finally public transit. And the important thing here is this money can be used for either capital improvements or maintenance. So capital improvement would be going out there and building a brand new facility. And maintenance, of course, is the pavement's falling apart. We need to, pothole patch or replace the asphalt. So this is really anything you want to do on a transportation facility, from walking to biking to transit to cars to signs, anything you want to do on that facility is eligible under this money. It's the cleanest, most open source of money we can possibly get. The funding allocation. So there's two models that Cache County falls under, and if you want some sleeping material, I can actually give you the sections of state code because it's long and laborious, but all of the multiple pages of state code break down to this simple chart for us. If you're in a CBTD service areas, 40% of the money goes to the cities and counties based on a sales tax model distribution. So that's 50% point of sale, 50% population base. That's how we distribute sales tax throughout the state of Utah. So we take that whole pot of sales tax, half of it goes to the location where the sale occurred. So if it's the Maverick in South Logan, that sales tax, half of it gets returned to Logan. And then the other half goes into a pool that gets distributed out based on population of the communities. So even if you're, Cornish, you get a little bit of population-based sales tax, even if you have no point of sale. So that's how sales tax works. That's how this first 40% gets distributed out. The second 40% in the CBTD service area goes to CBTD. And then the last 20% comes back to the county. In non-CBTD service areas, the only thing that changes is they take that CBTD money and they put it into the county. And before you think that's a huge windfall, you have to remember that the sales tax distribution, the primary funding there is happening in the CBTD service area. Almost, 90% of the money coming back on this tax is happening in the CBTD service area. So we ran a model as best we could. We tried to get the State Tax Commission to give us some input. We talked with them a couple of times. We sent them some pointed emails with some detailed questions, and we're essentially told to consult our attorney. That not being helpful, we went through and we built a funding model as best we could based on the information we had. So I can't verify with 100% accuracy that this is how exactly it'll work, but it's as close as we can get. So we went through here and we broke out, if we assumed the same sales tax rate that was collected in 2017, which was 3.9 million, and we put all the communities in, we put in where CVTD is servicing, we break out that sales tax distribution portion, et cetera, et cetera. The numbers in green that you have, and you probably can't read them on the wall, but it looks like you have miniaturized versions there too. So the numbers in green are how much money would come back to the individual communities in CVTD. So you can see Cache County at the top is just shy of a million. Logan near the middle is 800,000. CVTD at the bottom is just over 1.4 million. Again, this is a sales tax. This gets distributed directly back to those entities. The biggest winners, of course, are going to be CVTD, the county, and Logan. But you'll see the small towns like Cornish is going to get $2,500. Clarkston and Amalga, you know, $5,500. There's not much population there, and since it's based on sales tax distribution, they just don't see much revenue off of this. The next column is the existing gas tax funds that we as communities get for roadways. And so what you can do there is you can compare if we had this tax in place and you look at the existing money we're getting from gas tax, you can look at the percent increase that you're going to see for those various communities. What you're going to find in most communities is that gas tax right now is covering 50% or less of their cost to maintain their road network. So in Cache County right now, we're running at about 45% gas tax covering our maintenance costs. Last time I checked on Logan City, they were just under that 50% threshold. And honestly, I haven't dug into all the smaller communities, but you can see that that's general pattern for most of the communities that we can survey. On the bottom right-hand side, too, I also showed you how sales tax has been growing over years. So in 2015, we were at 3.4 million. 2016, we were at 3.6 million. Last year, we were at 3.9 million. This is a revenue source that will continue to grow over time. The only problem with this revenue source, though, is it is the least recession-proof tax that you can have. You understand that with sales tax. As people stop spending during hard times, the sales tax shrinks as well. But year after year, it should grow, as especially as populations grow, et cetera. So we also looked at who else has passed this. This is not a brand new sales tax. This was enacted in 2015. Yeah, 2015. It was first put out as an option. There were changes made that we'll talk about too in 2016, and then changes again in the last legislative cycle, 2018. But there were a number of communities that went in and passed this tax. There was 12 counties that passed this tax. Under the original sales tax model. The original sales tax model required a ballot initiative and a vote of the people. There were a number of counties where that ballot initiative failed, namely Salt Lake and Utah counties, that ballot initiative failed. This map shows just our general region. I don't think I sent you the full statewide map. I can send that on to Todd. I forgot to attach that. But you can see Rich, Weber, Davis, Tooele have all passed this tax. So it's in place there. The next number you'll see on there is what the sales tax rate is in the highest sales tax generating jurisdiction in that county. So in Cache County, the highest sales tax generating location is Logan City. So we take their sales tax rate because that's where people are actually spending the money. In Davis County, you're looking at Layton, Weber County, Ogden. So we take that rate in that highest grossing location so that we can compare what happens to our sales tax rate relative to the other counties surrounding us should we pass this tax. What I'm guessing you'll see in the next year is that every county on this map will go green. Salt Lake County, even though the ballot initiative was voted down, they are talking about it actively right now. Utah County is talking about it actively. Box Elder County will be talking about it actively as soon as they figure out what it exactly is. We've sent them some information, but I think you'll see a number of these counties pulling into this tax very quickly. So the key point here that caught us a little off guard, if you go back to the council minutes from our first meeting in January, they went through their list of goals. And one of the goals that kept popping up was we need to talk and get the sales tax on the ballot in November. And that was a primary goal. And so we had prepped ourselves to start really digging into this, post-legislative session, getting into this, March, April, May, get ballot language together. We got the final sixth substitute of the bill Thursday night, the last day of session, whatever day that was, March something. And we read it and we said, oh, they changed a number of things here. The first thing they changed is it no longer requires a ballot initiative. It's simply enacted by an ordinance of the Cache County Council. Well, that's kind of a big change.
Council. What? Any county council that hasn't already adopted.
Any county council. And so that was a big change for us. You also see that the state wanted councils to adopt this thing, so they heavily incentivized counties to go adopt it. So 100% of the tax that is collected on this quarter cent all the way through July of 2019 goes back to Cache County. They limit what we can spend that on to one of three options, which are transit, transportation related debt, or what they term major transportation facilities, which are collector roads and above, which we have a few. So we can't use it on regular maintenance. We can't use it on just paying our guys to go do work. We have to put it into major projects. But they did incentivize us to go in and say, the quicker you pass this, the sooner you have money flowing, the more of it you get. You'll also see that they've put other caveats on it. So if the county does not pass this tax by mid-2020, cities individually have the option to then pass the tax. And if cities pass the tax, the county gets left out of the funding. And in CBTD service areas, it would go 50% to the city directly and 50% to CBTD. Now, we asked the question, too, if Logan City were to pass it, does that no longer follow that same distribution model? Does it all go based on whatever's generated in Logan City goes back to Logan City? We were not able to obtain an answer on that. But in theory, if the county doesn't pass it, and then all the cities try to pass it, Logan City would take the lion's share, and the smaller communities, we think, would get whatever they generate in their community, and that's it. But again, we don't know, and we'd only know if that actually occurred. So we look at that as another kind of outside edge. The county wants to do this so that everybody gets a piece, including us. And if we wait, then individual cities have to go and deal with the issue themselves. So another change that that we found when we were driving through this issue was this issue of county classification. So in 2016, Jack Draxler, who was then our representative, ran a bill that provided an option to reduce the amount that goes to transit from 40% anywhere down to 10%. In counties of the 3rd, 4th, 5th, or 6th class. Those are the smaller counties of the state. So Salt Lake County being a county of the 1st class, Utah, Weber, Davis, Washington counties being a county of the 2nd class, Cache County is a county of the 3rd class. And so initially there was this look at, well, how does the county pass this tax? Where does that threshold go between 10% going to CBTD and 40% going to CBTD? When we started digging back into this, we said, well, how close are we to second class county? We did that research and we find out that we're about 400 people away from being a county of the second class. The threshold is 125,000 population. Our projection is that we're gonna get a letter from the governor's office or lieutenant governor's office in January saying, congratulations, you're a county of the second class. So all of a sudden we've got this option that the county was initially pursuing that is no longer really an option for us because we no longer meet the county classification thresholds. So we looked at that. We knew there was some issue and some concern with how this tax was being distributed. And so we found out, Jeff and I started digging through this tax, as I said, Thursday night and Friday. We called Todd and set up a meeting for that very next Monday morning to sit down. We sat down with Todd, Roger, Craig Butters, Jeff Gilbert, and Curtis Roberts from CBTD to talk about what are the options. The concern there being is the county was initially looking at trying to draw the line in the sand at 10% to transit and trying to pull the remainder into maintenance funding for the county and cities. And so we approached Todd with the concept of some portion of a pullback from CBTD as a grant opportunity for cities with a couple of catches. Once the money goes into the CBTD pot, it's not eligible to go back into general maintenance for roads. We can't use it for pavement. We can't use it for chip seal. We can't use it for street signals and all this stuff. But what we can do is we can try to finalize some of these connections between mass transit and standard transportation modes. And so we looked at how to build a system that would enable cities to build what we call first mile, last mile of transportation. So we looked at trying to pull money together from cities, pull money together from CBTD to put into a pot that would allow communities to make side bike lanes and bike facility connections, to put in those connection pieces to allow people to get to CBTD stops or to use other modes of transportation other than a vehicle, a car. And so that was the initial concept that we had sat down and talked about with Todd and Roger and the county folks. And so we talked a lot about, you know, ADA accessibility. I know you've done some projects with Logan City on ADA accessibility near transit stops. But broadening that out and really going into these communities that have limited or broken sidewalks to figure out how to make those sidewalks connect and then tie it all back into the transit system. And so what we looked at was trying to provide that grant opportunity for communities that are in the CBTD service area. Since those are the only communities that are potentially losing money to CBTD, because the other communities, they're not funding CBTD, we're making it only eligible to those 10 communities. Those are the core urban communities where we already have some multimodal transit options. We need to connect them better. We're looking at some level of interlocal agreement between Cache County and CBTD. The initial thought here, as I put at the top, is 33% of the funding that would go to CBTD goes into this intermodal pool. That's 13% of the total tax, 33% of the tax that's coming to CBTD. So if your total was $1.4 million, it'd be one-third of that allocation going into that pool. We would utilize our trails planner to help oversee the administration of this. It's an active transportation fund that help with the construction side, program help with the construction side, so that we're not burdening CBTD with something that is just outside of your scope of typical activities. We would look at using a function similar to how the COG works. So communities come in to apply for COG funds. They go through the Cache Technical Advisory Committee, so the CTAC. This is a group of staff, engineers, some cities send representatives, the county sends representatives. I know Todd sat on that before. These are technical experts to help sort, rank, and look at the technical aspects of a project. Does it really make a connection? Does it really function? Are the numbers good? Do we have right of way? All those pieces we sort through and we help rank those projects before we send it up to the COG, which is made up of mayors. So the concept here is we send it to that same group. We're already using them to help rank, rate, and score projects on COG stuff, on CMAQ stuff, which is congestion mitigation, air quality funds that are going through this technical advisory. There's multiple funds that are going through this technical advisory committee. They can help rank, rate, make sure that the projects are viable and buildable, and then those projects would come up to this board for thumbs up or thumbs down on funding. So ultimately, since it is your money, it has to come back here for that disbursement allocation. And then Todd would have to be the one who's saying, okay, we funded this, these are how the disbursements are going to work, and then we would have to work out some arrangement on how exactly that functions. We've looked at some options for how to score projects. So one of the high criteria on our list was, does the city project connect city transportation with CVTD service routes? Yes or no? Does the city transportation plan connect with the CVTD long-range transportation plan? Yes or no? We're trying to make that connection actually function so that cities are thinking about CVTD, CVTD is thinking about cities, and the money is coming together to help fund it. The other option that is on the table too is to go back and readdress how the distribution works through the state legislature. There is some thought that the Jack Draxler bill that would allow CVTD portion to be dropped had a technical oversight in the fact that Cache County was soon to move into a class or a county of the second class. I got to get it right. I always say second class county, and that's not what I mean. County of the second class. And so there is the theory that if this doesn't work, the county has an option to go back to the legislature and try to tinker with how the money is allocated from the get-go. The issue with this is if you look at the funding we have, we're all desperate for chunks of money. You're desperate for chunks of money. We're desperate for chunks of money. The one thing that is consistently left out is the connection points between your money and our money. And so the thought is if we can build this pool of active transportation intermodal connections, we can start to link all of our transportation systems together. That's the theory of it. If you look at it from a net perspective, the person who's losing the most money out of not going back to the legislature is Cache County. If we go back to the legislature and we cut the transit percentage down to 10%, the county stands to make $550,000 more a year off this tax. If we put it into the option A system, most of this money, if not all of this money, is going to go back into the cities that you guys are functioning in. And if you know how much county function you have, it's very limited. So most of that money is going to go into the urban core, which is where we need transportation options. So the initial look from the county is, yes, we could stand to make a lot more under option B. We are still trying to make option A work. And that's kind of where we're at. So that's what, I mean, Todd and I have talked, I don't know how many times at this point, we've chewed various options. We don't have details on how option A works. We've got some general thoughts. We've got some general guidelines. We understand how to rank and rate projects to make sure that they meet your guys' need, they meet our need, and try to make those connections function between transit and bike ped and vehicles. How the details actually work out, don't know yet. And there's no point in going through a long, elaborate process to detail every issue out until we know, A, we have a tax in place, B, there's an agreement in place, and C, everybody's happy with it. Then we can work out how do the details work out, get everybody on board with those details. That's the point where we're at. The Cache County Council had their initial look at it a week ago Tuesday, where we presented all of this material. We talked again briefly last night. They have it on for a public hearing for May 8th. Coincidentally, this bill goes effective May 8th. So we have a public hearing and an ordinance set for May 8th, which is the earliest time by law we can adopt it. What the Cache County Council does with that, you'll have to show up on May 8th to see. There is broad support for the tax, and we are trying to move ahead with the tax independent of this discussion of option A, option B. It does us no good to say that we're going to hold you guys over the barrel and hold us over the barrel at the same time. There's too many benefits to this tax to the county and the cities to say we can't move ahead. But the question is really how do we work out this issue. That was my spiel. Hopefully I didn't put you all to sleep.
Wow, I told you he was an outstanding presenter.
Well, that's only if anybody actually understood anything or if they just nodded their head up and down.
Well, I was just going to have a formal motion now to approve. I thought you did such a good job. So, no, we'll entertain questions. First, let me express appreciation to you, Josh, and to our county executive, Craig Butters, and the council for the time and the careful analysis that you've gone through, obviously, to come up with this. So you've obviously given it a lot of thought. And I'm sure Jeff Gilbert's been involved from the Cache Metropolitan Planning Organization as well. So thank you all. So let's just open it up, if we may, for questions from the transit board here.
So are we supposed to take this information to our mayors and our councils and get their input to see what they want us to do, since we represent the cities?
I think we know what they would like us to do, and we have two mayors here that we can invite to share. I think it's an important question.
Yeah. I think if the members of the committee feel like they need to talk to their mayors,
sure,
and council, it's important for them to do so.
That's fine.
Because I think that it's a big decision, and I think it's also a decision that we don't enter into just on the moment. You guys have had a lot more time with it than we have, and so I believe that maybe it is wise for us to allow that to happen. So, Norm, I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Do the two mayors want to comment briefly we'd hear from two on how you feel about this proposal?
You need the mic.
Well, and just before Mayor Drew talks, just one of the things we have done, we met with the MPO board, which is in theory represented by most of the mayors of the urban core. Unfortunately, it was like 50% attended. So we followed that up, and we did send an email out to every mayor with all of this information, with the PowerPoint slide, with additional information that came from Jeff Gilbert at the MPO. And we've had two responses at this point, Smithfield and Logan.
Logan was there.
Oh, I guess they didn't give a letter, but yeah, we had.
Cities have been discussed, but
Smithfield has said.
You discussed
end of the month.
This is new to you today.
So we've at least pushed the information out. We haven't gotten everything back.
So I attended the MPO meeting a week ago Monday that Josh is referring to, and even after I was there and listening to it, and as he mentioned, only probably half the mayors were there, I sent him an email and said, would you mind if I meet with you so I can understand your presentation? So, and then we have the mayors who weren't at the MPO meeting. So my concern is, I was trying to understand what the question Jeannie had about quarters too, and I could probably explain it now. I could go back to our council and explain it, but we had a long conversation. Jeff was there as well. I've asked the chairman of our mayor's association to convene a meeting of all the mayors, like a lunchtime, just a working session, so we can have a discussion collectively, because I don't think most of the mayors could even go back and explain to their council what Josh has just explained to us up here. And I'm sure some of you here are kind of overwhelmed with all the ins and outs of how this is supposed to work. There's a lot of ifs too, and part of the ifs are what the state legislature decides to do in the next legislative session. And it was Senate Bill 136 and 230 pages, something like that. So I tried to read it and gave up. And so, and there's some people, some state representatives I've talked to that voted against it. They're dissatisfied how it was written, and it passed the House by two votes. So I think there's been a lot of discussion between now and then, and it's probably going to be tweaked come next year, the 45-day legislative session. So I'm not sure the mayors and the cities are in a position to say or recommend one way or the other. I imagine there's a lot of council members that are going to push back and say, when they hear tax increase, a lot of them are just going to automatically say no. But they're not going to get this level of detail either. So.
But I think the cities and counties don't really have a choice, because the cities don't have a choice,
because
the county will be
you're right,
assessing
Jean.
The tax.
What
But I think we have, we collectively, cities and the Transit District Board, have a year to figure out how we want to do this, because then we can wait and see what happens in the next legislative session, too.
The point Jeannie's making is what comes from the cities and the mayors is advisory. It's the county council that ultimately makes a decision.
Here's my question, and thank you, Mayor, if you're finished. If Cache County chooses to go forward with this on May 8th or whenever, after the law becomes effective on May 8th, can the legislature change what the county's opted to do based on the current law that's in place?
Yes, and they do.
Over and over again.
Over and over. I mean, this is the nature of the local state interaction, is that we'll do something and then they'll change it. And it happens on land use, transportation, funding, taxing. It happens across the board on a multitude of issues. We already know that there is going to be a series of sessions this summer, legislative workshop sessions, on these 5/4 cents. We don't know exactly what the drive there is, but I think it's good for this board to understand that a large portion of this bill was targeted at UTA, which is now going to be called TDU, which just sounds like Tennessee something university, I don't know. But a large portion of this whole bill, this 224 pages, was focused on restructuring UTA. And so there was a large conversation there on how that was to work. And then you see this fifth quarter for transit also got added. There's going to be discussion at the legislature in the interim, and before this tax goes live to everybody but the county, there is going to be a second bite at the apple. And there is discontent from cities and counties. There's discontent from the governor's office. There's discontent from transit on how this works. Our primary concern, when you look at the 5/4 cent options, where did I put my pointer in? This is when you look at that from a more rural community. I mean, Cache County is still kind of on the border between rural and urban. When you look at the options up here, 3.5 of the options are transit. One is for capacity-related road issues, and half of one is for maintenance. And if you look at the way our budgets are coming apart right now in terms of maintenance, we have no hope of keeping up with the infrastructure. We are woefully behind and getting worse day by day. And so when we look at transportation funding, we're looking not to build the next four-lane interchange. We're looking for how do we hold together the asphalt we have on the ground. And so I think when you look at these next series of legislative workshops, the conversation from the cities is going to be, what's the point of anything else if we can't keep the asphalt together on what we already have? And that's the conversation point that I'm curious to see where that drives in the interim.
Josh, can you tell me how many miles of roads the county maintains?
County maintains 198.5 miles of paved roads, 270 miles of gravel, and another 130 miles of dirt.
Okay, thank you.
So that's pretty close. Yeah,
we've got we've got about 600 total miles of road.
Okay,
so
thank you,
David. Mayor of Millville, do you want to share a little bit your perspective?
Yeah, I think our biggest concern as a small city is just like was said, the fact that we don't have enough money to take care of our roads, to build new roads, to do that kind of stuff. And when you're taking 40% to the transit, how is that helping us in our community? Roads and water are very important, and you know, you can go ahead and run transit through, but if we can't maintain them or take care of them or have the funds to build them, where are we?
And I guess that was kind of the reason for my comment, that I assume the communities would feel good about having some carved off of transit so that we could take care of some of those issues that would qualify under that active transportation category. So that was my assumption. Other questions from board members?
I've got a question.
Please.
Do you know the reasoning? Why did they decide to take it off as a ballot initiative or measure? And turn it over to councils?
This is my presumption, because nobody will actually probably tell you the answer. It failed in Utah County. It failed in Salt Lake County when it was put on that ballot.
So they were just afraid that it
would
be a general thing.
But why did it fail? It failed because at the time there was a large anti-UTA sentiment. Oh. And so when they were talking about this tax and they're looking at giving 40% of their road maintenance money to UTA, there was a large pushback on that. And so you see that this passed in a lot of the very rural counties. You know, Daggett mm-hmm. County, I think, passed it, and Tooele passed it, and you know, the areas where there was no debate over transit versus maintenance, it was just maintenance money, there was limited concern there. It did pass in Weber and it did pass in Davis. Those were the outliers. But I think where you see that it failed was this transit notion. So the legislature pulled it off the ballot and said, pass it as a county tax. We're going to incentivize the counties to pass it and give them 100% of the funding for three quarters. Mm-hmm. Three fiscal quarters.
I knew that.
Sorry, Jeannie.
That's okay.
So they've incentivized it. They've made it easier. And now if you read the newspaper articles, you see that Salt Lake County is in active discussion. Utah County is in active discussion because they no longer have to worry about the ballot. They still have to worry about public perception, which is what we're all concerned about. Because, you know, even when I'm at council last night, the only comments they've heard back are not negative about the tax. They're negative about the fact that we thought this was maintenance money and we're giving 40% to transit.
To transit.
And that's the thing that really hurts the communities is when we look at that and say, look, our opinion would be have transit taxes be transit taxes and have maintenance taxes be maintenance taxes and new capital building be new capital building taxes. But what we've done here is we've carved out a portion here and carved out a portion here and carved out a portion here, which means that we muddied the water on what we're trying to do on any one of those issues. And I think that's part of the issue.
We're living with the effects of the legislation that UTA drafts and that their lobbyists lobby for, basically, is my opinion.
And there is a lot of distrust. I mean, there were some real legal issues and stuff with UTA. That makes sense.
And that muddies the water for you guys. It muddies the water for us. But yet, yeah. They hold a very powerful lobby at the state. And so when this stuff was crafted and all these pieces were put in place, a large portion of it was because of that UTA lobby. I don't know. I mean, Todd, you might have a better view on that.
But no, I think there's truth to what Josh is saying there. I mean, you know, I do think that on the Wasatch Front, they're also dealing with the fact that roads, they can't build enough roads. That the public transit's got to be part of the solution. And that's where I do think we're going to have that point at some point here as well. But to Josh's point, roads are a real issue. I mean, we need to find a way to fund roads. And so I think, like Roger, I commend the work that's been done. And, you know, how do we all get along? How do we all coexist in these communities that are ours, and how do we function in a positive way to go forward? And I think this is this is a good opportunity for us to find a way to do that.
I'll simply ask our county executive again. So, despite the risk of the legislature changing this, Craig, is your recommendation to the council to go ahead and pass it on the 8th of May?
It is, and I think there's a lot of appetite to get that done on the 8th of May. I think that the legislature will be willing to maybe carve out something that can be a little bit more favorable to Cache County and maybe one or two other counties that have transit districts. But I think that if we can work together for a solution, something that is agreeable to transit and to the cities and to the county, then we'll be better off in the long run. So,
thank you. And that would certainly be my hope, that we can work together. We know we need roads. And transit, as Todd said, transit's part of the solution. And we've had a short-range transit plan completed over the last year for Cache Valley Transit. There are unmet needs. Communities that would really like to have more transit. We've talked about expanding paratransit for the people with disabilities and the older adults, which is costly, but there's a need there as well. So this would be helpful both ways to the roads and expanding transit services as seen fit by this board. Any other questions? And then I'll throw out a proposal.
So Jeannie? I've had a little time to think about it because Holly shared with me this. I didn't understand the quarters then, but she didn't know the answer either. So I understand it now. Thank you. But I wonder if, you know, when you talk about a portion of this being allocated to transit and that active transportation can be a part of that, would it be smart for us as a county, as a collective group of people, to think in the think a little bit further ahead toward the renovation of SR-30, and think about the fact that one of the things that was asked for in almost every presentation that I saw, and by all the interest groups, was some sort of separate trail, bike lane, something that's off of SR-30 as it's renovated. And would it be appropriate for us to say we will set aside some of that money that would go to transit annually, and we will leverage that to get the state to do SR-30 either sooner or more the way we hope to have it end up?
So there's a couple things to consider here. The first is we need to be very careful if we have this agreement on transit helping fund this first mile, last mile, that we're funding what we call active transportation.
Well, that would be it.
Which is not active recreation. So we have to be very careful with the types of bike ped facilities we're doing. We can't go up and build Bonneville Shoreline Trail and call it transportation because the users up there are 98% recreational. So we have to first meet that first threshold.
Right.
In the solution or the options we were talking about with Todd was, what happens when we have these large intercommunity connectors? So not just SR-30, but what happens with 8991 and trying to connect Wellsville to Logan? Or what happens along SR-23 up the west side? Are there opportunities there? And I think the thought is yes. But we have to also understand that we need to put our dollars where there's the biggest bang for the buck. And if we can make sidewalk connections immediately in jurisdictions that connect people to transit or connect people to bike lanes or connect communities together proximally, that may be a bigger bang for the buck than, say, putting $5 million into one large regional trail. I'm not saying that there's not a huge benefit
there. I'm also going to put in there that we build new sidewalk, we build new road, connector or not, we have the same issue in the long run of no money to maintain it.
Yep.
So you can build all the roads you want, and you know, we've done a pretty good job of building them, but we've not collectively done a very good job of planning for their repair and replacement.
Yep.
If I could do this, and I know we could spend another hour trying to understand this fully, but here is a letter proposed. Our executive committee took a look at it yesterday and felt comfortable. If I may read this letter and see how our board feels about approving this and allowing it to be sent to the county.
Could I ask the mayors to see if they feel confident that we can vote on this? They have two representatives here. Because you're going to make a motion.
Let me read the letter first, Norm, and see how we feel. Is that okay? It's three paragraphs. I'll hurry. It's addressed to the Cache County Council, and obviously to Craig as our county executive as well. The board members and staff of the Cache Valley Transit District recognize the need for additional transportation funding within Cache County. Like you, like the county, we understand that safe and efficient transportation systems create the foundation for economic growth and an improved quality of life. Population projections for Cache County indicate the population will reach 185,000 by 2040, official state population projections. The current transportation systems and infrastructure will certainly need to be enhanced and expanded to adequately meet the needs of this growing population. As a partner in providing transportation to the residents of Cache County, the district board, that's us, support the Cache County Council in adopting a local transportation tax pursuant to state code, and will, that's us, we will work cooperatively with the county in providing funding for the increasingly important active transportation options. Respectfully, I would sign that as chair with your approval. Can we have, and I'm just trying to move the conversation a little bit, we're not committing to the 33%, although Todd and I have talked, and I think the county's proposal of 33%, at least for the next few years, is certainly reasonable. That's my opinion. I think our executive committee seemed to feel that way. And based on what Norm has said, and you, Jeannie, we probably not throw that out right now until you talk to your council members.
I think that's fair.
But do we feel good enough about this letter saying we want to work with the county?
Would you
if
read
you
the,
choose to pass that?
Would you read the last two sentences again,
yes,
please?
Yes, ma'am. The last paragraph, as a partner in providing transportation to the residents of Cache County, the district board supports the Cache County Council in adopting a local transportation tax pursuant to state code, and we will work cooperatively with the county in providing funding for the increasingly important active transportation options. So this says we're willing to consider, you know, up to a third, the 33% as Josh and the county are throwing out there, of our money set aside for active transportation. The money, Cache Valley Transit would have to cut the checks. The county would help develop that system of applications from the 10 communities in the district. And they'd have to meet the intent of the law for active transportation. And we could help those communities a lot with that, as I calculated, about $460,000 a year starting July of 2020.
2019.
Well, no, I thought the county got the money for...
Through July of 2019. It should start accumulating.
It'd start this July.
No, July of 2019, not 2019.
But that's what I'm saying. Doesn't the county get the money for July of 2019 to June 30th?
From now until 2019.
Of 2020.
I think it's 2018 this year, so not this July, but next July.
It's from now till 2019.
I'm sorry.
Okay. We start getting
Josh, correct us. The county gets it for the first year. What's the first year? The whole thing.
If we pass it in May.
Yes.
If we pass it in May, just with the timing of the state and all that, the first day of collection would be October 1st of 2018.
Okay.
And then we would collect from October 1st of 2018 through July of 2019. 100% of that goes to the county, and then the distribution kicks in to go city, counties,
I stand corrected.
CBTD.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So the county gets it in the entirety for 9 months. And then the formula kicks in a year from this July 1. Thank you for correcting me.
Can I maybe address Norm's questions?
Well, please
real quick?
Do.
So just to clarify, because Norm was talking about going to your cities, right? So yeah, right. But so you're the voting member on this board, so you don't have to go to your city to cast the vote. However, you definitely could go to your city to see how they feel so that you can cast that vote, right? I mean, and so you could abstain, or you could vote in favor, you could vote against. But what Roger's proposing with the letter is not any commitment to any number. He's proposing that we would negotiate and work with the county and that we're supportive of the tax. So that's, I just wanted to clarify that.
So we could do it in two steps. We could give them this, which will allow them or give them a little help in adopting this on May 8th or whenever they choose, and negotiate down the road a few months what that percentage would be. That's two steps. Or we could do it all now. But I heard you say, I'm willing personally to do it all now and accept the proposal that Josh and the county are throwing out and say, I'm comfortable with 33%. And maybe not forever, but at least for 5 or 6 years. That's my opinion, which I'm entitled to.
Yeah, the time frame is something I'm interested in as well. As the legislature tinkers with this, and we
looking at projects that we need to get taken care of.
But I think that requires a longer conversation than a yes tonight. So, but I'm perfectly in favor of the letter, and I would move that we approve the letter.
We have a motion to approve sending the letter.
I second the motion. I agree.
Okay, we have 2 seconds. We'll recognize Mr. Quayle. Any further discussion on the motion to approve sending the letter as I read it and as drafted? Any discussion, Norm?
So
yes, sir.
Are we going to meet again before this meeting so we can confirm?
And the percent? No. No, as I see
we
it,
can
we're
do
sending
that
the letter
in the next year.
We're sending the letter of general support, and the step two will be to negotiate the percentage. Josh?
So, sorry to interject. Craig and I were talking here. I think we're fine with the general letter of support from our perspective. You know, I can't speak for our council, but I'm not anticipating that we're going to hammer out every detail tonight or in the next week or month. I'm anticipating that this is going to be an ongoing discussion. But the benefit is we do have time. You know, nothing is going to be set in stone for 15 months or 14 months, whatever it is. So we have time to have discussion, figure out exactly how we want this thing to function. And our conversation may be acted upon by what the state discussion winds up being. So we may come to a conclusion, and then all of a sudden things shift on us anyways. And so what I'm hoping for is that we can all have open lines of communication, we can get more information out to cities, they can communicate in, we can start to look at, okay, how would this money be used and what kind of projects, we can get that information out. The best thing we can do is when we try to put a program together is see what it would actually do in our communities. Rather than just building an arbitrary program and hoping it works, we can build a program and see if it functions the way we intend it to. And that's what I would like to do, and that takes time. That would take time and effort.
So, Josh, can I just ask a question? But you are looking at having the county vote on this on May 8th or something? So are they going to vote on it without having the everything defined?
Well, they get all the money for a year.
I can't guarantee anything. I don't. You know, I'm only here as a representative of the county. I can't dictate what the county council is going to do. What we have talked about, at least, is to say, look, we need this tax funding in place. Delaying it at this point for a year only necessarily hurts us. Delaying it beyond a year just puts it into the city ball court and out of the county's ball court. And then instead of having one centralized negotiation on all this, we have to have 15 negotiations on this. And so, you know, what they wind up doing on May 8th, I don't know. I can only think that the letter is going to be positive, even without a load of details in it. But I also understand that this is a short time frame. You know, we really started into this the end of March. That was our first discussion, the end of March, and here we are, April 18th, and we're sitting here having this discussion and asking for action. And I understand that that's a narrow time frame, but that's the time frame we're under as well to move this thing along.
Well, I know, but I think that that your action to adopt it is. The county's action to adopt it is one piece of it. Our working collectively with you is a second piece that we can take our time doing, because I think it's too difficult for us to go, oh, sure, we're going to get it. We're going to give it away. We won't see it for a year. It'll be fine. You know, that sort of thing. You know, I just think it gives everyone from the county and everyone from the cities and everyone on this board an opportunity to think through it carefully. And it may turn out that, you know, I want us to consider a lot of options. I mean, I personally do, because I think we could perhaps leverage something bigger if we need to.
Thank
and maybe
you,
we have to work on that.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second on the floor to approve this letter of general support saying we want to work with the county, but without identifying a percentage at this point. And I think Jeannie's comment is correct. We have time to do that. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, we'll proceed to vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no.
No.
One no. Do we have any abstentions?
I'll abstain.
Okay. Eric abstains. Let the minute show. Thank you very much. So I think we'll probably end that discussion and agenda item. We have one more short agenda item. We thank all of those that are here for this. Appreciate the efforts of the county and the cities and the Metropolitan Planning Organization. So it's some important issue here. Thank you all. Todd, do you want to talk about the next issue? It's a carryover from last month's meeting.
Yeah, last month we had a citizen that came and talked with you and talked with you about our writer's guide. And so Roger had asked, or the board had asked and given us direction to update you on the changes. So first of all, you do have some of your, I see thumbing through that. You do have a writer's guide. So this is something that goes out. Anyone that approved to use our paratransit services, this is something that they are issued, they are given. And so it details out how to use the service. In front of you, in your packet, is a one-page sheet. I'll just kind of highlight this. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but I do. We have several new board members, so I want to kind of go through a little bit. So every 3 years, because we get federal funding and because we use that federal funding for operating services and on various projects, we have what's called a triennial review. So every 3 years, the FTA sends out a reviewer, and as well as the person from the FTA to conduct that review, and they go through various areas. The Americans with Disabilities Act and those types of things are one of those areas, specifically the writer's guide. So when the FTA reviewer came out, they really kind of do two things. They look for deficiencies, in which they would write us up for it being deficient. And then they also look for best practices that they see across the country and say, look, you're not deficient in this. You're compliant. However, this is something that we're seeing as a best practice. We encourage you to make this change. And they give us various recommendations. And that's a benefit for us that we can kind of see that. Because they also are looking at in the future of areas where they might say, this may change in the future to where this wouldn't be a recommendation, this would become a deficiency. And they don't want to see us with deficiencies. We don't want to see with deficiencies. So most of these changes, if you look, changes recommended by the FTA reviewer, that's where the majority of the changes came in the writer's guide, that we needed to do some things to clarify for the persons that are using the service to make things more easy for them to understand. For example, under that changes recommended by the FTA reviewer, the very first one, we made the administrative appeal process easier to understand or easier to see in the guide. So we highlighted it, we bolded it, kind of made it its own section where before it maybe wasn't as clear as it could be. And so those are the types of things that we did in this writer's guide as we went down through there. You see that there's two other changes that weren't suggestions from the reviewer, but things that we just caught ourselves as we go through these reviews. One was that, you know, we had said previously in the writer's guide that all of CVT services are accessible. And we clarified that saying, yes, all the vehicles are accessible, but there may be stops. And this goes to Josh's point about funding accessible transportation, first mile, last mile. We have places out in outlying communities where there may not be a sidewalk, where we're deploying a person, we're unloading a person that's in a wheelchair, and we're unloading them into maybe gravel, or we're unloading them where there's no sidewalk. While the vehicles are accessible, we may have stops that are not. So we just clarified that. And then again, because this board authorized us to expand to the city limits, we will be making that modification in the writer's guide upcoming. So, I mean, I can go through every one of these if you want. I'll leave it up to you. I just kind of wanted to give you a one-pager so you can go through it. You can go through the writer's guide. If you want more detail, please, I'm happy to sit down with you and go through that in detail. Is there any questions regarding that?
Okay. Thank you, Todd. So this kind of relates to what Mr. Daines complained about last time, right? You're dealing with that issue as best you can.
Correct. Anytime we receive a complaint, we deal with that, whether it's a service complaint or whether it's an administrative appeal. I mean, that's just part of what we do with every passenger, and Mr. Daines is no different. When he registers a complaint, we look at that and see what we can do to resolve.
Thank you very much. Looking down the list, Ron Natale's not here, and we didn't plan to take time.
Craig?
Oh, great.
30 seconds.
Take 45.
So,
Since we won't be having our regularly scheduled board meeting next week, we're going to postpone reviewing Section 2.2 and combine it with Section 2.3. So we'll be hitting both of those sections at the next meeting, and we'll try and hustle through those as quickly as we can. Given what the PEP committee saw yesterday in reviewing 2.2, we think it'll go pretty fast. And so that should give us time to look at 2.3, which deals with compensation issues, which might take a little bit longer, but I think we've got some good tools for getting through that stuff quickly.
Thank you, Craig, and thank you and Ron for the effort you're putting into that, and Sue and the PEP committee, and what else?
I was going to have
to. I'll do that. And one thing, I did receive a letter from the Federal Transportation Administration, the Denver office, and let me just read the cover sheet on that, the cover email with the letter attached. On behalf of the Federal Transit Administration, I want to thank Curtis and Todd for their dedication to transit, the excellent work they and all their staff do at CVTD. I truly feel Cache Valley Transit District is a model recipient and steward of federal funds, and they go into a little more detail about the review. Every three-year review, triennial review is the term that Todd mentioned, and everything's in compliance. The things that were carried over a bit from last time have all been taken care of, so we appreciate our good staff. I have copies of that for anybody that wants it, but it's all very positive. So last item, let's see, board chair report. I have nothing to report other than to say thank you for helping understand a fairly complex issue, but important. I think roads are important to all of us. Transit's important. Anything last parting words? Yes, Norm, you bet.
Is it possible if we have a letter like this that we're going to vote, it can be attached in our packet so we can have a day or two before to look at it instead of a couple minutes to vote?
We'll do our best, but as Josh mentioned, this was kind of an urgent thing, and the letter was drafted yesterday. So
we could have had a copy.
Potentially, yep. Your comments well taken. So yeah, but at the same time, it's kind of a general letter saying we want to work with the county, and I had a hard time thinking we would not want to work with the county. That was just my opinion. So
all the city packets I give you beforehand, and they have so much time to review them, so we can have our questions resolved before.
Okay.
We're more educated.
We'll do our best to do that in advance. Thank you very much. Other comments or questions?
Roger, just one more question.
Yes.
Since next month we are going to discuss compensation benefits, and I know I've asked you this for a few times, is there a way we can, I emailed you, but I never heard back.
Yeah, I apologize.
Can we,
for that.
What can we do so we can, I think, because most of us don't know what the benefits are for CVTD and the members. So
yeah.
What I do to get the benefits, and then I would email them out to all the board members so we can see what the benefits are, so we can be more informed to discuss.
Rogers has asked us to put something together, and we're in the process of doing that. So we will
we'll
have
get
a
them out in advance, mm-hmm. well in advance
yep.
of the board meeting.
Sure.
And if there's things left out or more questions, can we arrange time so we can make sure we've got everything in the full detail?
Sure.
If there's stuff that's not covered,
meeting,
what
we'll
you
ask questions and follow up with more detail. Sure.
Yeah.
But I'll Todd. Yeah. Todd will get it to me. I'll kind of look it over, and we'll make sure.
Because, yeah, I mentioned about sitting down with Todd a few times and going through all the benefits we
yeah.
can, because nobody knows really what they are. So, but, I mean, I started this in January. I still haven't got anywhere.
And I guess I had the impression, Eric, that those benefits were described in our annual budget meeting. Somehow I have a little understanding of what they are. So.
Yeah, no, they're not really.
So. Sean?
Can you talk about the letter from the lawyer?
No. Not now. If people want to talk about those emails, we'll be happy to have a little discussion here on the side.
I didn't get a letter.
After the meeting's adjourned. If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting, and thank you very much. Meeting's adjourned.